We'll camp here.
Cranston eased the big Harley off the dried riverbed and over a bumpy culvert to head toward a gigantic rock mesa. The jagged column of stone rose from the sun-baked red ground to dominate the countryside for miles. Several tiny creatures with wings circled the top of the mesa, but the details and even their cries were lost in the distance. The sheer sides of the mesa were vertical walls of grayish rock, impossible to climb. No plants grew from the sides of the mesa, not even vines of scrub brush. It was as bare as a dead man's bones. Riding along the swells of ground, the Coldheart circled around the mesa until reaching the shadows of the eastern face. Now masked by the darkness of the setting sun, they drove into a deep arroyo that cut into the mesa like a wild lightning bolt, a zigzagging path of culverts, dead ends, caves, and cutoffs. Slowing to a crawl, the bikes went single file, endlessly making turns until they were deep within the stony maze. Flexing his hands to keep a grip on the handlebars, Denver Joe had to appreciate the location. Anybody not knowing the correct path would soon become lost and easy prey for any snipers hidden in the rocky face, soaring high above the pebble-strewn floor of the canyon. Open space suddenly exploded around them as the Devils rolled into a box canyon. The ground here was smooth and flat. Several huts lined the far side of the canyon, with sandbag nests on top for guards. There was a shaded corral for the bikes, a pit edged with barbed wire for the slaves, and a still surrounded by rusty barrels. Riding through the middle of the canyon, the gang passed a low stone pillar with a rusty I-beam lying across the top. The beam was dripping with chains, while the pillar was decorated with grinning human skulls, the stone darkly stained. A shiver overcame Denver Joe as he spotted a few black scorpions crawling about, picking at the sun-dried bits of blood and flesh still attached to the old bones. So that was the learning tree the others had been talking about on the ride here. A grisly monument where slaves were whipped, bikers beaten for disobedience, and enemies slowly tortured until they begged for death. It was where outlanders and muties learned the wisdom of pain. Entering the shadows again on the western side, it felt good just to be out of the direct rays of the sun, but Denver Joe felt there was a definite coolness in the air, and as he parked his bike near a hut, he saw a tiny waterfall splashing out of the side of the mesa into a small pool. There were green plants growing alongside, some corn and marijuana, the broad splayed leaves unmistakable. Denver Joe climbed stiffly off the motorcycle.
Hell of a find. This Arville?
Curry laughed, kicking a leg over the bike to stand it upright.
One of them. We never stay in one spot very long, so nobody can find you. Wheels mean freedom, man.
Loads my blaster.
Denver Joe tried not to groan aloud. He felt sore in every muscle, his back a knotted lump of cramps. The pre-darked paved roads in the area were in poor shape, with potholes everywhere, and the drive across open ground was even worse. The nukescaping was pretty bad here, although the others said it was even worse to the south, toward the Texas Badlands. It was a hell of a rough trip. Then the man felt like a feeb for thinking that he had it bad, as he glanced at the bedraggled slaves heaving for breath, their bound hands held in front of them, as if they were still running to keep up with the bikers. Most had bleeding feet, and two of the older folks had fallen and been dragged to their deaths before the Devils stopped to gather the corpses. Only the pregnant girl had been allowed to ride on a Harley. But then, if she gave birth to a healthy Norm baby, she would be worth more in ammo and fuel than 100 slaves. More than one baron would pay Big Jack for a healthy child. After the slaves had been shoved into the pit for safekeeping and the bikes given some maintenance, it was time to dress the corpses. As the newbie of the group, Denver had to assist. Attaching chains around the ankles of the dead people, the bikers hauled them into the air from the crossbar of the learning tree and cut away what remained of their clothing. Then, it was purely a matter of skinning and scraping the bodies, much the same as butchering a fat hog. When the last of the organs had been removed, the Devils built a smoldering fire under the gutted figures and let them dangle in the thick smoke to cure. Darkness came with sunset, and a bonfire was built of rubbish and some wood taken from ruins along the dried river. Dinner was canned beans and some freshly killed dog. Good food, but Denver Joe had to force down his share so he wouldn't appear weak from the horrid butchery. He had washed his hands 4 times in the runoff of the little pool, but could still detect the coppery reek of human blood and entrails. As several of the bikers lit up joints and passed around a bottle of triple brewed shine, Denver claimed he was still too tired from the earlier knife fight to join in the drinking. The man he replaced on watch was delighted to partake of the swill, and Denver Joe was given a Winchester long blaster to watch the opening of the arroyo, more for snakes and wolves than any possible human invaders. Putting the learning tree at his back, he fed wood chips into the campfire and tried not to listen to the screams from the slave pits. Then, when he was fairly sure nobody was watching, the old man reached into his boot and removed a flat plastic box. The casing had been slightly cracked from the fight at the creek, but there didn't appear to be any water damage. Unfortunately, he didn't know of any way to test the damn thing. The transmitter either worked or it didn't. As surreptitiously as possible, he laid the pre-dark device near the campfire and watched as it was hopefully accumulating electrical energy from the heat of the fire. Something about a thermocouple, but exactly what the old tech talk meant was far beyond him. As the silver crescent of the moon rose over the mesa walls and filled the canyon with silver light, Denver Joe added a branch to the campfire and knocked the device into the crackling flames. The transmitter caught fire and burned very quickly from the oily rag stuffed inside to protect it from moisture, and soon there wasn't a trace remaining to show that it had ever existed. Soon his replacement guard sauntered over, smoking a hand-rolled marijuana stogie. Denver Joe listened to the biker boast about sex for a while, then passed over the Winchester and stumbled off to bed for some much-needed sleep. Masked by the deep shadows of the sandbag nest on top of the largest hut, Cranston smoked a cig laced with Jolt and wondered what in hell the newbie had been doing at the campfire. Unfortunately, the learning tree had been in the way, and the chief biker never got a clear view. Maybe he was just trying not to be sick in front of the others. That made sense. Lots of men vomited their guts out cleaning a debtor for the first time. But the man's secretive actions made Cranston mighty uneasy, and he spent a long night thinking hard on the matter. As the electronic fog faded from the Matrans, Ryan cursed in recognition at the cream-colored walls with their golden lattice pattern. They were in the exact same redoubt. Glancing about, Jack frowned.
We ain't nowhere! Damn LD button must have shorted or something.
JB slid on his glasses and peered at the control panel. There was no obvious damage to the array of buttons, but who could really tell with the pre-dark machinery? Shifting the stire on his shoulder to a more comfortable position, Ryan rubbed his good eye, debating the possibility of trying one more time to jump out of the infested redoubt. But his gut feeling was that the machine was broken, and that they had been riding luck from the first moment they arrived. Dean hitched the straps of his backpack.
Should we try again?
Can't take the risk. A malfunction in the Matrans could send our atoms to the middle of nowhere.
Christy looked around as if she could see inside the armorglass walls.
Do you think the entire network is down?
Mildred scowled at the sole door of the chamber.
Only one way to find out.
Just then, the lights in the chamber flickered.
Fireblast! The muties are eating the comps! That's why we can't leave!
Time to reload. Deathlands is continued on the next CD.